Good morning and welcome to the roundtable. We are, of course, this morning talking about the story that has us all talking about, us all concerned, and one of those things that brings us together as a people and as a nation and as a community of a major bombing in Boston during the Boston Marathon yesterday. What we're going to do this morning over the next hour is a couple of things. Of course, we're going to integrate your phone calls throughout the hour, and we would love to hear from you. We welcome your phone calls at 1-800-348-2551. Curious of what is on your mind and what you make of the situation, what we know, what we don't know. 1-800-348-2551. And later on in this hour, we are hoping to speak to Massachusetts Representative Richard Neal, who will join us, and it is scheduled to join us at 9:45. And we're going to begin our conversation with the managing editor of the Berkshire Eagle. And Kevin Moran joins us on the telephone this morning. Our panel this morning is Ray Graff. Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Hello.
And David Gustina, WAMC's Morning Edition host. Good morning, David.
Good morning, gentlemen.
And it's managing editor, right, Kevin?
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
How are you? Good morning and welcome.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Sorry it has to be under these circumstances, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you look at it of how we've been covering this situation, how you've been covering this situation, it's impossible to not think, and I'm sure even more so in your neck of the woods, of how many connections there are to Boston, obviously, and to the race, to Patriots Day, as well as to the representatives who are and crews who are dealing with the situation.
Yeah, this is one of those stories, Joe, that hits incredibly home. For instance, we have 19 runners from Berkshire County. I happen to know a number of them. Outside of Berkshire County, I have friends and colleagues who were in the race yesterday, luckily who finished way ahead of the time, so that's a good thing. None of their friends and family who had attended the marathon along with them were injured or hurt or really near the scene. They had cleared out well ahead of time. And in addition, it's amazing to also know a number of the players who are involved in leadership positions with this investigation, from the governor on up to Richard DeLaurier, who's now the FBI chief. I've met the man. He's a very serious guy. I have a feeling he's going to take this investigation quite seriously. It's one of those news stories that just hits close to home for everyone in New England and in the nation and the world, for that matter. It's really a global event that has major local connections.
It is also just what you said of a major global event, and it's interesting to note of how quickly it became. You know, you don't know. We still really don't know what happened.
We don't.
Obviously, but. You know, that moment of, oh, there's a bombing at the Boston Marathon, and then how it just starts to unfold so quickly, and to becoming a story, and you realize the ramifications, and
including people searching for initially it to be an accident or not to be the worst case
and
scenario.
and hoping for you know, some explanation,
yes,
at very least, and then it becomes this global story with terrorist implications, and again, we don't know, and I think that is what is frustrating in a case like this, because even with 9/11, within moments when the president first spoke, he used that word terror attack, and we had something to attach it to, where here we simply don't know that.
You know, Joe, it's interesting. Patriots Day weekend in Boston is, I've been there, you know, primarily to go see some Red Sox games.
Sure.
During this weekend, and it's a festival-like atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And with 27,000 marathoners and their friends and family in Boston, I mean, they just dominate the city. People are having a great time. There are hopes and dreams and, you know, aspirations, you know, from people who, you know, who hope to compete very well in the Boston Marathon, to others who hope just to finish the race as a personal goal. So, you know, there's all those human, just regular old human emotions in trying to seek personal triumph, and for all of a sudden to have something like this happen, it's unfathomable and it's despicable.
Kevin Moran is the managing editor of the Berkshire Eagle. He joins us this morning. We welcome your phone calls as well, 1-800-348-2551. And we will be going to your calls shortly, and we have lines open, and we welcome your phone calls. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. Do you have a sense, Kevin, has there been any official announcement of what the governor's schedule is today, and is there any scheduled press conferences or briefings that are scheduled throughout the day?
Yeah, I am aware. Governor Patrick will be joining a press conference in about 15 minutes in Boston. I understand that the FBI special agent in charge of New England, Richard Delorier, will also be at that press conference, scheduled for about 9:30. So, you know, we'll pay attention to that. I'm sure your news crews will be reporting off that. Any new and pertinent information.
Right.
You know, the Boston Globe overnight reported as well, interestingly, that there was a home that was sort of looked at for being housing a person of interest. Of course, that's doesn't mean that they're guilty by any stretch of the imagination, but there's somebody that they wanted to talk to in Revere. So I hope that maybe the press conference can address that this morning.
When you think of I saw the governor speak last night and in the gravest situation, and I don't think any governor wants to deal with that. But talk about being the calm at the center of the storm, boy.
Mm.
Wow. And you did get a sense that all of those that entire crew, that those men and women were very much at had. You didn't get a sense of disorganization. You got very much a sense of concern and control, I thought.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Governor Patrick is very, you know, calm, cool, and collected. And, you know, it's amazing that something in somewhat of a crisis situation like this, he maintains that composure. You know, that's one of the reasons that I think very unique qualities that the governor has, and it's remarkable just to kind of see him in action and getting some information out. When especially yesterday, when information was coming fast and furious, not only was it coming from news sources, but it was coming from social media,
right.
Which was really one of these huge events trying to encapsulate the bombardment of local and information, social media information, and trying to figure out the entire thing. Fascinating.
We are going to take a break in just a moment and go to our telephone calls. How are you going to be covering the story today?
We have a crew from our sister newspapers who are out in Boston. I was talking with our executive editor earlier this morning. We may be sending some staffers out there later today to assist in the reporting effort. Obviously, we'd like to know, and we have not had any confirmation that any Berkshire County resident has been either, that is among the injured, so we're glad to note that.
It is a... obviously a somber day, and we thank you very much, Kevin, for taking the time out to talk to us. I know it's a busy day, as it is in newsrooms throughout this region, but throughout the country as well. And I thank you very much for taking the time out to talk to us. You can find out more at BerkshireEagle.com. Kevin, thank you
take
very
care.
Much. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll go to your phone calls. Later on, we'll be talking to Massachusetts Representative Richard Neal. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to the roundtable. We are talking this morning, of course, of the bombings in Boston yesterday during the Boston Marathon. They happened shortly before 3 p.m. on what was a beautiful day in Boston, a celebratory day, Patriots Day, April 15th, that turned into a horrific situation in the center of the city. Blocks of Boston remain closed, remain a crime scene, remain under investigation this morning. Meanwhile, over 100 people are injured, severely injured, at least three deaths that we know of as a result of this bombing. We are going to take your phone calls this morning. We're interested in your thoughts, what's on your mind as a result of the story coming out of Boston, both this afternoon and this morning, what we know, what we don't know, and your concerns. And as I mentioned, later in the hour, we will be talking to Massachusetts Representative Richard Neal. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. Let's go to Sarah in Albany. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi. I'm interested by the discomfort with calling it a terrorist attack. We know it was multiple explosive devices. What we don't know is if it is domestic terror or international terror. It certainly fits the bill for a terror attack of some sort.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. If it wasn't an accident, it was clearly terror. It was at the end of a race where there are cameras all over the place. Classic sort of theory. If you're going to do a high-profile attack. I mean, if it wasn't gas lines or electrical underground lines exploding and it was deliberately set, regardless of who did it, it was terrorism.
And I think we certainly saw that unfold yesterday, where news organizations started to embrace the term later on. There was much made about the president not using that term specifically. But, you know, I think we also have learned in the past that there is, you know, sometimes things are misreported. There was at that time, as the president was speaking, there was a lot of talk that there were multiple devices, which has sort of been now discredited, that the two that were detonated were the only ones found.
It was still multiple.
Yes, absolutely. No, I'm not disputing that at all. But what I am saying is that I think that there is. I think when you're dealing with the unknown, and you're trying to get the facts straight, I think, and you don't know what you're dealing with, you have to be very careful, especially on a world stage, of what words you use. I understand what you're saying completely.
Yeah.
I don't know how using that word, and I assume your concern is over the president not using that word, am I right?
No, it's over how the media has continued to report it now that we are aware of more of the details.
Yeah.
I appreciate the president being more rational and cautious and trying to make sure that he has all the facts.
Yep.
I am concerned that the U.S. is uncomfortable with the word terrorism unless it is applied to people of certain races or backgrounds, and that we need to understand that terrorism does not come with a skin color.
So how have you, where have you not seen, because I have to admit, everything that I have seen, whether it's the front page of the Boston Globe or the front page of the USA Today that says terror returns, that word has been used quite broadly in the media.
Actually, it was earlier in the roundtable broadcast when you were saying that, talking about how much we don't know, and you're saying we don't know if it was an act of terror, and that was what sparked me to call in.
Okay. Yes. And to clarify, I don't think we know the type of act.
Yeah,
I don't
think
what I was saying of domestic or foreign terrorism, we don't know that. We don't know who, we don't know what, we don't know if it was, what we know about the bombing is that it was, from the expert reports, is that it was a rather crude device. But here again, as far as the type of terrorism, I certainly wasn't limiting it and distancing it from terrorism, but there is a lot, certainly, that we don't know as to the motive and as to the perpetrators.
However, federal investigators, and I read this morning, say no one has claimed responsibility for the bombings that killed the three people and injured more than 140. The Pakistani Taliban have denied any role in the bombings, so we do know that. That doesn't mean anything, though, because as Ray's pointed out, as our listeners pointed out, and I think as many of the experts I've heard, including people like Benjamin Bratton, the former Boston and New York City police commissioner, you don't go from the gut on this. You investigate it. You take your time. You're very careful when you're reporting these stories. But this is how this is going to be as investigators go forward.
And we are, Sarah, thank you very much for the telephone call. Let's go to one more phone call, and then we're going to take a break and get the latest news from National Public Radio. And then we'll come back, take some more phone calls, and then hopefully Richard Neal will be joining us at 9:45. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, good morning. Mine is more of a comment of frustration that all of us feel when these sorts of things, which are so horrendous, happen, not just in the United States, but anywhere in the world, when this kind of cowardice, it's the thing of the frustration of the cowardice of this, targeting such a soft target of families enjoying a beautiful day, mm-hmm. watching the runners, loving Boston so much as many of us do, and just the ridiculous horror that these poor people have to live with now the rest of their lives. And all of us add to our list of these events. And people that do this sort of thing, that intentionally target families and children, that's the thing that's so frustrating for those of us. It's not just that we have a family member there, but we are all one group.
Absolutely.
That's what's so frustrating.
You know, absolutely. I was telling David before we came on, you know, like 1 o'clock this morning, I was kind of restless and I was waking up and I was like, I wonder why I'm not sleeping. And I was like, oh, yeah, an 8-year-old child is dead because of a bombing in a city that's 2.5 hours away from us. Of course, you know, we should all be devastated and upset by what.
And the uncertainty that creates. Like, what is next? I'm always thinking, now what's going to be next?
Exactly. Right. We're all on pins and needles all the time now.
Linda,
because of these acts of cowardice. That's the only word I can think of.
And they've happened in movie theaters and public places. And so now you think, well, I can't be safe anywhere.
In a kindergarten classroom.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely. Linda, I thank you so much for being so articulate and beautiful in your thoughts. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. NPR News is next. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to The Roundtable. We are talking this morning about the bombings during the Boston Marathon yesterday. A somber day, obviously, and we are going to be going shortly to Congressman Richard Neal, who is expected to call us at 9:45 this morning, and we'll be talking to him. In the meantime, we welcome your phone calls at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and we would love to hear from you this morning. 1-800-348-2551. David, I know you have some information as to what we're following and what we know and what we don't know at this point.
Well, Joe, of course, heightened security in Boston at this hour this morning, reporting from the Boston Globe. Computers facing increased security on the MBTA today, and one of the signs of increased security after the bombings yesterday at the South Station this morning, passengers were met by police and bomb-sniffing dogs who strolled alongside the passengers. Overnight, a wave of law enforcement swarmed the home in Revere and were seen carrying several bags from this suburban Boston apartment. Authorities say it has been searched as a part of the bombing investigation. No suspect has been named. No one has been arrested. Boston area TV stations say the bags were moved from the apartment on Ocean Avenue in Revere at about 2 a.m. The area around Boston's Copley Square, as Joe mentioned earlier, a crime scene. It remains closed as city, state, and federal law enforcement agencies investigate yesterday's bombing. The crime scene was secured by police and the National Guard. Highway exits to the area are closed, and Green Line trolleys are not stopping at Copley Station this morning. The doctors of Massachusetts hospitals have been treating wounded in yesterday's Boston Marathon bombing, from everything from ruptured eardrums to lost limbs. The chief of emergency services at Massachusetts General Hospital is saying, quote, "This is something I've never seen in my 25 years here, this amount of carnage in the civilian population. This is what we expect in war." Again, security stepped up at landmarks, government buildings, transit hubs, and sporting events across the U.S. since yesterday's bombing attack at the Boston Marathon. And British police are making sure there's enough security at tomorrow's funeral for former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. And the London Marathon on Sunday, of course, New York City, Mayor Michael Bloomberg, heightened security there. Governor Andrew Cuomo directed state agencies to be heightened on alert. Prayers coming in from leaders all over the region and the country and the world this morning, Joe, in light of this tragic bombing. And just one last headline here, of course, the bombing claimed the life of Martin Richard, an 8-year-old boy from Dorchester whose mother and sister were grievously injured. He was the son of Bill Richard, a community leader from Dorchester's Ashmont neighborhood, according to authorities. Again, this coming from Boston.com.
We have just received word that National Public Radio will have the update from the latest press conference that is expected in Boston soon. We were told 9:30, but as we know from a lot of experience,
sometimes
that they will, when they get everybody together and right. all the information is cleared, and they're...
Deval Patrick going to be
there? Yes, Deval Patrick will be there, although it does look like there is some activity. So we will check on that in a few moments and certainly let you hear that as soon as we have it. There is something going on there, so I don't know if there's something going on there. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens.
There's the governor,
Okay. Well, let's go over
we'll
and
join that
coverage.
In progress.
Less than 24 hours after yesterday's act of terror, we wanted to organize a briefing for you with the information that we have. The mayor is here, the members of our congressional delegation, all of the law enforcement leadership. We have several people who want to present to you this morning and take your questions. A couple points I want to mention at the outset. I told you yesterday that the FBI has taken charge of the investigation. Special Agent in Charge Rick DeLaurier will speak shortly. It's important to clarify that two and only two explosive devices were found yesterday. All other parcels in the area of the blast have been examined, but there are no unexploded bombs. There were no unexploded explosive devices found. Over 150 people were injured yesterday in the blast, some gravely. Our thoughts go out to all of those injured and killed and to their families and friends. I personally want to thank the extraordinary first responders for their just extraordinary work yesterday. Every single one of them, those who were on site and those who got to the site promptly thereafter, performed beautifully, as have the area hospitals. And I've been calling around to the heads of the hospitals personally to thank them as well. It's our hope that tomorrow we will organize an interfaith prayer service to help our community heal. We don't have details on that yet, but we will provide those details when we have them. There is a support center that was opened yesterday in what we call the Castle, opposite the Park Plaza Hotel on Arlington and Stewart Street, I think it is. The mayor and his has
for those just joining us, let me just mention that you're listening to live coverage of Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, who's giving a news conference with the latest information on the Boston Marathon bombing. We're expecting to hear from an FBI special agent shortly.
Everyone should expect continued heightened police presence. And everyone should continue personally to be vigilant. The investigation continues, and until it is done, all of those in law enforcement, represented by the leaders here, will be present in force in the area around the blast and throughout the city. And with that, let me turn it over to Mayor Menino.
Thank you, Governor. Yesterday, the terror was brought to the city of Boston. tragedy was brought to one of our neighborhoods also. This is a close place, the city of Boston. Here we know our neighbors, we grieve for them. We grieve for the little boy who we knew from Dorchester. But also today I want to say we know our heroes also. They are the men and women who wear helmets, who wear the badges, the runners, who helped us yesterday during this time of need. And as we go together on this issue with all the law enforcement officials, we're going to make sure the city pulls together. You know, we got it under control. Let's continue to work together. Let's keep offering a helping hand to individuals who may need it during this very difficult time in our city's history. But I just say to all of you, I've been mayor for 20 years now. I've never seen law enforcement pull together, working together to solve our crime in our city as they have. But also how people pull together, the business community, the neighbors, everyone. This is a tragedy, but Boston's a strong city. We're a city that'll get through this. And like the governor said, we set up a resource center over at the castle near the Park Plaza Hotel, where staff will be there available to give information to individuals who've been involved in the marathon. And it's open from 9 to 5. And the phone number is, let me think of our phone number, 635-50-
Let me just remind our local stations we're going to stay with this news conference in the minutes to come as we continue to learn more about the investigation here on Morning Edition. This is Thomas Menino, the mayor of Boston.
24-hour hotline that you need information also. That number is 617-635-4500. And over the last several hours, we've received calls from all over the world asking us information about the tragedy and how they could help us. So this is a bad day for Boston. But I think that if you pull together, we'll get through it. We're a strong city. A lot of people are willing to work together to make this a better place for all our people. And so as we gather here today with all our officials, let's say Boston will overcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Senator?
Thank you. Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The President of the United States has pledged his full support in all efforts, both to keep the city safe and to find the person who did this and bring them to justice. We did not have to reach out to the president. The president reached out to us. He called the governor, he called the mayor, he called the members of the delegation.
This is Senator Elizabeth
Warren.
Because
the president is actively involved here in responding. On behalf of our congressional delegation, Senator Cowan is here with me and Congressman Lynch and all of the members of our delegation. We want to extend our thanks to the first responders, to the firefighters, to the police officers, to the EMS, to everyone on the scene, including the volunteers who came and helped those in trouble and helped save lives. We also want to thank those from all around the country and all around the world whose prayers and thoughts and offers of help have poured in. We are deeply grateful. As the mayor says, Boston will survive.
Thank you, Governor. Good morning. My name is Rick DeLaurier. I'm the special agent in charge of the FBI's Boston Division. I would like to start this morning by thanking the first responders from Boston EMS and Boston Fire Department and the volunteer physicians, nurses, and medical staff from the community who volunteered at the marathon. Their services and heroic actions saved lives yesterday afternoon. We continue to work shoulder to shoulder with our JTTF partners at the Boston Police Department, the Massachusetts State Police, as well as all our other JTTF agencies. Our mission is clear: to bring to justice those responsible for the marathon bombing. The American public wants answers. The citizens of the city of Boston and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts want and deserve answers. This group of dedicated men and women standing before you today pledge to do everything possible to get those answers. This remains a very active investigation. Our ongoing investigation in various locations throughout the area goes on. However, there are no known additional threats. We continue to interview various witnesses and process the crime scene, which could take some time. The citizens of Massachusetts and the city of Boston should expect to see the FBI and its JTTF partners conducting investigative activity in the greater eastern Massachusetts and Boston area. Assistance from the public remains critical in establishing a timeline of events which leads to swift conclusion through due diligence and strong investigative activity. We commend the public, we commend the citizens of Boston and the citizens of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts for the information that has been provided to law enforcement so far, and we strongly encourage that assistance to continue. It is paramount to explain the FBI and our JTTF role to a greater extent, the volume of tips we have received, and reiterating the resources we provide. We have received voluminous tips over the last 18 hours since the incident. We have staffed our 1-800 call FBI tip line, and we continue to encourage individuals to contact.
You're listening to a live news conference from Boston. Some of our stations will break away at this point. Others will stay with us right here on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Working as we speak, processing evidence at the crime scene. To the extent that the crime scene still plays in Copley perimeter and it continues to be a crime scene, it may be that for several days. The FBI JTTF is logically following up on a variety of leads. You will see us and our law enforcement partners interviewing, maybe your neighbor or coworker or even yourself in coming days. We encourage you to please cooperate with law enforcement authorities. The resources the FBI and the JTTF allow for swift action, which we hope will yield quick results, but that does not diminish our diligence and persistence in combing through the high volume of evidence and leads that we are processing right now. We are just beginning upon that path. Thank you very much.
I'm Gene Marquez, Acting Special Agent in Charge, ATF Boston Field Division. At this time, ATF has done a partial NRT, National Response Team activation. We are bringing our explosive specialist here to the scene, and we will be working jointly with the FBI and its partners on the JTTF. We have certified explosive specialists. We have explosives enforcement officers, we have special agent bomb techs, and we have canines that are trained to detect any explosive devices or any residue. At this time, we have approximately 30 forensic specialists en route or on the scene. And to dispel any rumors, there were rumors floating around that there were up to seven devices at one point. That is not true. I think that happened as a result of some suspect packages that were disrupted, but we only have two devices that we're aware of, and both of those devices were the ones that involved in the damage and were involved in the explosives incident. At this time, we are looking for the public's cooperation. We're looking if there's any video, any photographic evidence.
And for those stations rejoining us, we are listening to a live news conference from Boston. Gene Marquez of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms giving an update here on yesterday's Boston Marathon explosions.
We are pursuing those investigative leads at this time. The scene is going to take several days to process. We just ask for your patience as we're working in that area and for your cooperation.
Okay, and let's analyze a little bit of what we've been hearing at this news conference. We have heard from several officials over the last several minutes. Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, Thomas Menino, the mayor of Boston, along with a couple of investigators, Rick DeLaurier of the FBI and Gene Marquez of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, have given some updates on what they know, what they're willing to say, what they're comfortable saying at this point. Let's go to NPR's counterterrorism correspondent, Dina Temple-Raston, who's been listening with us. And Dina, what have you learned over the last few minutes?
Well, I think what we've learned that's new is that Duvall said that there were only two explosive devices found. That's meaningful because we heard yesterday that they had exploded a third device.
Mm-hmm.
It was a controlled explosion. It was unclear whether there was an explosion inside or they thought it was suspicious.
Yeah.
Right. And now we know for sure they blew it up. And they have found nothing else. I think the other thing that is new is the actual number of over 150 injured. That's the first we've heard of that.
That's the highest number we've had. It was maybe 140 or more, so it's gone a little bit higher.
It's gone even higher. And then the other thing we now know is we knew the FBI was leading the investigation, but now we also know that the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, is looking at the bomb itself.
Is that just a bureaucratic matter there? Does that tell you something about the way the investigators are leaning?
It tells you something about this being a terrorism investigation as opposed to something else.
Now, let's add to that a little bit of perspective you've been giving us throughout the morning. What are investigators saying privately that can add to what they have been saying publicly in the last several minutes?
Well, they've been very careful. This is very interesting to me, the way they have held so much information closely. There's a real concern that they get this right. And these kinds of investigations are very difficult. You remember in 1996, there was the bombing at the Olympic Games in Atlanta, and
mm-hmm.
they had accidentally decided that a security guard named Richard Jewell might have been responsible. Turns out they were completely wrong. It was a man named Eric Rudolph, and it took them years to find Eric
But
Rudolph.
Just very quickly here, people ask a question like, is this domestic or foreign? Any sense from investigators?
They seem to be trending towards this being domestic because the bombs themselves don't seem to have the kind of signatures that they look for in international terrorism. And they also are looking very intently at timing. The fact that this happened on Tax Day, on Patriots Day in Boston, the fact that it's within days of when the Oklahoma City bombing happened, which is April 19th, all these things are meaningful.
Dina, are you hearing anything that would suggest that this is not going to take years to solve? I mean, this is a conversation you and I had earlier this morning, and that sort of stunned me. I think there's a feeling that we could solve this in a short period of time, but this could be a long, long while.
And everything I'm hearing, and this is very unusual, because usually you hear threads and tips that they feel they're following. Everything I'm hearing is that they think this is going to be a long investigation.
Dina, stay with us if you can. Let's bring a different voice in. Roger Cressy, a former member of the U.S. National Security Council. He served as senior cybersecurity and counterterrorism in the Clinton and Bush administrations. Mr. Cressy, are you on the line?
I am indeed.
Can you tell us here what is the responsibility of the White House and the Obama administration as this investigation goes forward?
Their responsibility is to make sure that all the elements of the U.S. government are focused in bringing all their resources to bear. It's to lead and push where necessary, but also it's to stand back and let the experts and specialists do their job. I think what Dina said is very important, in that you need to find that one thread in the investigation, begin to pull that. And then the other thing to think about is intelligence collection and analysis post-attack, be it domestic or overseas, is you're building a mosaic. So you're putting all the pieces together that you collect and then try and identify what that picture actually is.
And be willing to spend years if it takes years, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. And as Dina said, in the Centennial Park attack in the 1996 Olympics, it took several months. So this is a really unique attack, and because of that, I think we're going to, unless they catch a break real quickly, or someone or an organization claims credit and they're able to run that to ground, this could take some time.
Well, Mr. Cressy, thanks for... Oh, go ahead, David Green.
Yeah, Mr. Cressy, I just wonder, what questions would you be asking right now at this stage? I mean, this early, early stage of the investigation.
So the first question is you go back into the intelligence community and you say, look at the databases. Is there anything that you have, that you collected, that at the time seemed innocent or innocuous, and now post-attack you can tie to the events in Boston? Second thing is, within Boston and the local law enforcement community, do they have all the resources necessary to do the interviews, the investigation, and begin to build that mosaic? And I think those are the two drivers right now from the White House perspective. The most important thing to keep in mind here is you don't want to be first, you want to be right when it comes to conclusions. So all the listeners need to keep that in mind, because this could take some time.
All right. Roger Cressy, formerly with the U.S. National Security Council, thanks very much. And let's bring in one more voice here before we close out the hour. NPR White House correspondent Ari Shapiro is standing by. Ari, in just 30 or 40 seconds, what is the White House doing this morning?
Well, so far we've only heard of briefings the president has received from Lisa Monaco, his counterterrorism advisor. We understand this morning he will also be briefed by FBI Director Robert Mueller. The overwhelming message from the president is make sure that state and local officials have everything they need for this investigation and the recovery. As we heard last night, the president pledged his assistance, and he said he has told his staff that he expects to be kept abreast of any new developments.
And will the president be addressing this publicly again?
Well, on his schedule today, his only public remarks are scheduled to be with the NASCAR champion, who was previously scheduled to appear at the White House. There's a public appearance. It is hard to imagine that will be the only statement the president makes today. But as of now, that's all that's on his schedule as far as public statements go.
Okay, Ari, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
That's NPR White House correspondent Ari Shapiro. A little bit earlier today, we were listening to portions of a live news conference from Boston at which state officials and federal officials were giving the latest information that they're able to provide about the investigation of yesterday's bombing at the Boston Marathon. And as we heard, a little bit of updated information here. Officials stressed more than once that they believed there were only two devices. There had been rumors of as many as seven. There was even what was thought to be possibly a device that was actually blown up. Now officials say there were two improvised explosive devices. They appear not to have been very sophisticated. They nevertheless were quite deadly. The latest death toll that we have is 3. The latest number of injured has now gone up. According to Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, it has exceeded 150 people injured at the Boston Marathon yesterday. We'll bring you more as we learn it on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Green.